This is a special report from ABC News. Hamas leader killed. I'm Mike Dubusky. Yahya Sinwar is considered one of the architects of the October 7th attacks on Israel last year, and now Israeli officials say the Hamas leader was killed in a firefight this morning. ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge tells us about the scene in Tel Aviv right now.
The crowd here in central Tel Aviv, just outside the IDF's headquarters. I mean, this is a massive moment for Israel, a massive, massive moment for the Middle East. It's a very big moment for the families and friends of those hostages which are gathering here tonight. We just had a statement from Israel's foreign minister saying that this is a massive military achievement for Israel. We've known that it's been one of Israel's key war aims is to take out Yahya Sinwar. He was the head of Hamas in Gaza at the time of the October 7th terror attack.
Hamas itself has not yet responded to Israel announcing the death of Yahya Sinwar. President Biden, meanwhile, has been briefed on the situation. This is ABC News. The number of high school and middle school students using tobacco products fell to the lowest point in more than two decades.
The Saudi government offered no information in advance.
Health experts say the drop-off in youth tobacco is a good thing, but there are still too many high school and middle school students using tobacco products. National Youth Tobacco Survey found that 2.25 million students say they used a tobacco product within the past 30 days, down from 2.8 million a year ago. PepsiCo, the maker of Doritos, Lay's, and other popular snacks, is responding to the backlash over shrinkflation. The company says it will now add 20% more chips to its packages without raising prices. And actress Mitzi Gaynor has died.
I'm gonna wash that man right out of my head.
Gaynor reached international fame from her starring role in the film version of Rodgers and Hammerstein's South Pacific. Mitzi Gaynor was 93. I'm Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
I'm gonna wave that
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Fall Sale and get 30% off paints and stains from October 11th through the 21st. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Come on in to Total Wine & More. Prices much lower than a grocery store. Spirits, wine, beer for a whole lot less. Walking down the aisles makes you stop and say, yes! From mixing cocktails, a friendly get-together, or a brunch outdoors, Total Wine has everything you need. And more. With the lowest prices and best selection for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Aylin. Wisconsin voters may be casting absentee ballots Tuesday. Some of them will have the option of using ballot drop boxes. Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf.
As was the case in 2020, there is not a requirement for municipalities or municipal clerks to report their to use drop boxes, first of all, or to report their drop box locations to the Wisconsin Elections Commission.
Wolf says there are at least 78 boxes available for use in 42 communities. A request to investigate possible intimidation of young voters in Wisconsin.
The League of Women Voters of Wisconsin and the group Free Speech for People sent U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland and Wisconsin AG Josh Call a letter this week requesting an investigation into whether anonymous text messages sent to college students amount to a form of voter intimidation. The groups cite texts to thousands of young people warning that violating state elections law could mean fines of up to $10,000 or 3.5 years in prison. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
City of Green Bay is not exactly leaping to extend the Packers' Lambeau Field lease, so the team is asking the Green Bay Professional Football Stadium District to step in.
On Wednesday, the team released letters it sent both to Green Bay Mayor Eric Engrich and the Stadium District Board. The Packers' lease for Lambeau Field with Green Bay and the Stadium District ends in 2032. There are options to extend it 10 additional years, but the Packers recently tried extending it by 30 years until about 2063. The team says Gengrich has not met with its officials since January, and that Gengrich requested that any further discussions be preceded by a meeting with Packers President and CEO Mark Murphy. The Packers say the two met in May, but Gengrich canceled a follow-up meeting in September and is not rescheduled. I'm Rachel Charniak, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Rugged outside, comfort inside. Working outside all day, you want to be in control. And TYM Tractors puts you in control with the TYM Climate Control Cab. This cab is designed with your comfort in mind, with temperature controls, plenty of headroom, and noise reduction. Rugged comfort that makes tough jobs a little bit easier. Work smarter, not harder. But you can't buy a TYM Tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers, like Synergy Cooperative, Highway 25 in Ridgeland.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Abundant sunshine today with feisty winds whipping out of the south and gusting up to 30 miles per hour. Pairing that with the drought conditions, there's a high fire danger. Avoid burning. But those winds will shove us to highs in the upper 60s today and the low 70s tomorrow. Save money with lower cost health insurance and better coverage. 1-800-693-9308. It's 56 degrees at our studios.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
...to train the next generation of cooperative leaders at the University of Missouri. We'll dig into Farm Bureau's efforts to redirect American tax credits to American products. And we'll examine the potential fallout from another trade war with China.
Live from the land of the Tigers via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a conversation with Kerry Jacobs from the University of Missouri. Then it's Joe Gilson, Director of Government Affairs from the American Farm Bureau Federation. And later, Scott Geralt, Chief Economist from the American Soybean Association. Directly following the news, Neville Spear from Drovers. I'm the handsome newsman, Davis Michelson, and now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
Holy smokes, man. It took you a while to get through that list right there.
I had to take a breath halfway through. I don't know if you noticed.
Well, yeah, I did notice. How's things going, Davis?
I'm up for the task today, brother. I am ready to go. My mornings have been very productive this week. I've gotten up a little bit earlier than usual. Sit down, and, you know, right to the grindstone. And I'm telling you, there's stuff to be known out there this week, brother.
It's amazing how much you can get done when you get stuff done.
I know, right? Getting so much done getting things
done. The first time my dad said something like that to me, I looked at him like he had three heads. You know? And then you start to realize, you know what, there's something to that. There's something
to that. That's dad wisdom right there.
Yeah. It is. It is. No doubt about it. 50. It is 50 degrees here in northeast Iowa outside the bunker. It's going to get windy today. We're heading for a high of about 70 degrees here. How about you?
We're 51 degrees, headed for a high of 69, low of 40 degrees overnight. We did get, there was a little frost on the windshields.
Yeah.
Nice little chill in the air yesterday morning. So we did get, I would call it a mild freeze this week here in Kansas City.
Yep. I would say that the growing season is over here. Unless you covered up that crop, the growing season probably ended yesterday morning. So, all right, boy, we got a lot of ground to cover today. Let's go ahead and get started with the news.
Well, we'll start with the weather, Chip, as a powerful Pacific system moves inland, accumulating snow for the higher terrain of the west, and increasing winds will affect the central and western United States. There's that wind you were talking, Chip. These winds combining with dry fuels may allow any wildfires to spread quickly for portions of the plains, including California. Onshore flow across coastal areas of Texas and the southeast with flood inundation and rip currents are possible. Fire weather, people. Fire, beware, please.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've talked about it a lot, but of course, we're going to mention it again. Take every precaution to make sure that it doesn't get you, okay?
More daily sales export activity here. More daily export sales. I don't know, whatever. 197,180 metric tons of corn for delivery to Mexico for 24-25 marketing year, and 101,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to unknown destinations, also for the 24-25 marketing year. A run on sales here, Chip.
Yeah, the corn demand has been coming right in, and this is one of the things that the guys have been talking about, our guest analysts have been talking about, on the afternoon hour of AgriTalk, that corn demand is coming around, and it's to the point that it's a positive for the market now.
Yep.
Of course, it's not being reflected in the market today much.
We've because why would it be?
Prices under pressure. Yeah, exactly. That wouldn't make any sense.
Nah. Well, Chip, all three major U.S. stock indices finished in positive territory with the Dow hitting a new record. Spot gold prices set an all-time high on Thursday amid a flight to quality given heightened geopolitical tensions and a potential sign investors do not believe the war against inflation is over. Now, Chip, here's the other side of that coin. Economists surveyed by the Wall Street Journal are increasingly upbeat about the U.S. economy, projecting steady GDP growth, moderating inflation, and a manageable labor market slowdown. The probability of a recession within the next 12 months has dropped, aligning with expectations of cooling inflation and further interest rate cuts. What do you know? Mixed messages from the U.S. economy.
Well, you know, and there's more and more talk about a soft landing, or as something that Jim Wiesmeyer is probably going to bring up tomorrow morning on the free-for-all, what about no landing? We don't land the economy. It continues to grow. So it's, it's something that is gaining some momentum out there.
Well, that's an interesting thought. Chip, Chinese equities fell sharply with the CSI 300 index dropping over 10% from its October 8 high as investors were let down by Beijing's lack of bold economic stimulus. The market response reflects skepticism over the government's gradual approach to economic recovery. And Chip, a lot in this one here, but Gevo Inc. secured a conditional commitment for a $1.46 billion loan guarantee from the U.S. Department of Energy. This is a groundbreaking development as it represents the first ever large-scale alcohol-to-jet project to receive such a commitment from the Department of Energy. The facility would be located in Lake Preston, South Dakota, designed to produce approximately 60 million gallons of SAF annually, utilizing, I like this, 100% U.S.-sourced feedstocks. DOE also approved conditional funding of up to $1.44 billion to Calumet to support the expansion of its Montana facility to utilize vegetable oils, fats, and greases to produce biofuels. Something's happening here, Chip.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to talk more about biofuels as the show goes on today.
And quickly here, the U.S. launched precision strikes using B-2 stealth bombers against five underground weapons caches controlled by Iranian-backed Houthi rebels in Yemen. Chip, over to you.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Neville Spear. Neville is a Drover's contributing editor, and he joins us right now. Neville is going to be joining us on a regular basis on Thursdays to talk about what's going on in the cattle and beef industry, so let's get to know him a bit here. Neville, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Chip. Thank you.
Yeah, glad you're here. Yeah. Glad you're here, and welcome to AgriTalk. Appreciate you making time for us.
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited about doing this. Yeah, this will be really fun. Yeah.
So tell me about yourself. Tell us about you.
Well, that's always the hardest part, right? Talking about yourself. But, I'm based out of Bowling Green, Kentucky, and I work primarily as an industry consultant. And as you mentioned, part of that includes doing contribution to Drovers. But I do a variety of things, including working with some companies and then also with producers directly. And that's how I scrape out my living here. Yep.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Scrape out a living is one thing. But outside of that paycheck, what keeps you centered on cattle and beef? What got you interested?
It is the most complex, but it's also the most fascinating business that there is, right? There's always something going on. There's some moving part. And what's really exciting, too, is that during my career, certainly we have seen this incredible growth and incredible demand that we've created around this. And so it's just been a really, really fun ride and a fun industry to participate in.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. So through these conversations, what do you hope to accomplish?
Really just want to continue to give listeners a big high overview of what's going on in the business.
Yep. Excellent, excellent. All right. You know, the timing of getting Neville on AgriTalk here is very appropriate. He and I will be together this weekend at a memorial service for Greg Henderson. Greg died unexpectedly back in the middle of August. Neville, we are looking forward to getting to know you even more and getting your perspective on what's happening in the cattle industry. Thanks, man.
Thank you, Chip. Look forward to this.
At BEX, we stand up for the things that matter most. Our faith, our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. BEX, founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit BEXHybrids.com.
Wake up. Get ready. Grab breakfast. Go to work. Grab lunch. Come home. Run to practice. Run to the store. Grab dinner. Go to bed and repeat. Food fuels your day. And we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
What's the first?
Farmers, it's harvest time, and the last thing you need is downtime while waiting for parts for your equipment. Need custom hydraulic hoses and fittings? See Durand Napa. Need hard-to-find parts? See Durand Napa. Need bulk oil or hydraulic fluid? See Durand Napa. Durand Napa also has filters with low prices throughout the entire year and has specialty tools for your equipment. Keep your equipment working throughout the harvest with Napa Know-How from Durand Napa, Madison Street, Durand.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
AgriTalk is brought to you by BEX. BEX Hybrids is with you every turn because both on and off the field, we're all farmers at heart. See why at BEXHybrids.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. It is time to get back on the College Roadshow, heading to Columbia, Missouri this weekend and the University of Missouri. Thank you to BEX for sponsoring the College Roadshow. Be sure to catch the full coverage from Tyne Morgan on this weekend's U.S. Farm Report. All right, right now, we've got Kerry Jacobs. Kerry is the executive director for the Graduate Institute of Cooperative Leadership at the University of Missouri. She joins us right now. Kerry, how are you?
Hi, Chip. Good. Thanks for having me today. Hey, happy co-op month, everyone.
Happy co-op month. What I saw that. I'll admit, Kerry, I didn't even know that there was a co-op month.
Yeah, here in Missouri and nationally and many states across the country. So this timing is just absolutely perfect.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. The Graduate Institute of Cooperative Leadership, GICL. What is it?
Affectionately known as GICL, yes. GICL is a center at the University of Missouri in the College of Ag, Food, and Natural Resources that was started back in 1971. A gentleman named Howard Cowden, who certainly has roots here in Missouri and in co-ops specifically. He passed away in 1972, which is when GICL had its first program. And GICL's main objective is to bring bring ideas, bring expertise to those leaders in cooperatives. So thinking about frontline leaders and executive leaders, but also boards. And so the work that we do in GICL today, it has changed over time. I've been executive director since 2022. And that work is largely focused on making sure that our leaders of co-ops, both within Missouri and nationally, have the expertise and are up to date on the newest thinking on the co-op model and governance structures and all things co-op.
Okay. Carrie, how did you identify the need for this?
Well, so this has a much longer tenure than me, and I was fortunate enough to step into this role recently. But I think this need, you know, this was a need that the founder identified late 60s, early 70s. But I still think it's a need today. You know, co-ops are unique business structures. They are agribusinesses, but they have these features that make them very different from closely held family organizations or even publicly traded companies that they're competing with. And that structure, we talk about being member owned, member controlled, and member benefiting. And while it is a very elegant structure that kind of that brings alignment and decision making and ownership and control by those who use the organization, whether it be an REC, an agricultural cooperative, a water utility, even a retail cooperative or a CSA type organization, that alignment certainly, although it's elegant and it has some incredible benefits and there are incredible benefits to doing that, it does bring challenges. And so it's unique enough that this need, and especially as agribusiness is becoming more complex and faster paced, it certainly is not a need that's going away.
Yeah. Yeah. Carrie, when you said it's a system that that has some challenges, I think I heard board members across the country going, you got that right. It is a unique way of doing business, and it takes unique training to be a leader in a cooperative system. So who is GICL for? Who do you expect to take advantage of your resources?
Right. Two groups primarily, and those are through two programs we have. We host every year at the University of Missouri. It's an honor to welcome senior leaders from across the country, our nation's cooperatives, everywhere from our CPG companies like Ocean Spray and Blue Diamond and Flora's Natural, names you would recognize, consumers would recognize, CHS, CoBank, Land O'Lakes, AGP, Growmark, like our cooperative system, MFA Incorporated and MFA Oil. We welcome employees, and those employees have been identified by their CEOs in most cases as being rising leaders in their organization. They see as key to the cooperative success in the future. And so we have an opportunity to spend 2.5 or 3 days with them in Columbia and do a deep dive on the co-op model. That's audience number one. Audience number two is our second program we offer every year, which is a CEO board chair conference. And that is intended to bring together, as the name suggests, CEOs and chairmen to have an opportunity to talk about the challenges they're facing and give chairmen the opportunity to talk with each other across organizations to learn from each other. And so it's GICL is really for those leaders of co-ops. And certainly there are governance challenges as well. And I like to say, so our ag co-ops, for example, Chip, their directors are producers. They're the farmers who today are out in the field harvesting whatever crop they're harvesting. And they certainly are experts in their own production. These are intelligent people in the agricultural space, and they know a lot about their own business. When they step into the boardroom, they're being asked to run a multi-million or multi-billion dollar organization. And that is a different way of thinking. And that's what we hope to help them with.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Interesting. You know, at AgriTalk, we rely on the fine people down at the University of Missouri for quite a bit. As a matter of fact, tomorrow afternoon, we're going to have Pat Westhoff, the director of FAPRI, on the show to talk markets and to celebrate an anniversary of FAPRI. Gickle seems to really round out the ag offerings from the University of Missouri. Is that an overstatement, Carrie?
No, I don't think it is. I think it is an important part of what Kafner and the university is trying to do.
Yeah.
And has been doing, honestly, for a very long time. You talk about the milestone that FAPRI is going to reach. Gickle has celebrated its 50th year at the University of Missouri a couple of years ago. So when you think about what the university is providing to agriculture, from training undergraduate students, its commitment to extension and FFA and 4-H programs, its commitment to providing producers timely information and policymakers through FAPRI. We have really amazing extension folks who work directly with producers. And then in my role, we step into the space that are the producer-led organizations that help run Missouri's economy. And so I hadn't thought about it that way, but I'm glad you put it that way, Chip, as a rounding out of all Kafner is doing and all the university is doing to support agriculture.
Yeah, it's really interesting, really cool.
Yeah.
It's a cool program. Now, maybe the most important question I'm going to ask you here is, so when someone completes the program at Gickle, what are they going to be prepared for?
When someone completes Summer Institute, and I view that as, you know, that's where we have our frontline leaders, and we have everywhere from a CEO down to someone who is just a manager of, not just a, but who has made their way, for example, to manager of grain merchandising or buying of cranberries. What we hope that they then walk away from not is a greater appreciation of the cooperative model, the challenges they undoubtedly will face because it is a complex model, and it is a model that it doesn't just focus on financials. I'll say that, and I'll take a little time if it's okay to explain what I mean by that.
Please.
Cooperatives have to be profitability, absolutely, but there is a mindset in cooperatives. You will see them making decisions that sets aside co-op profitability to ensure that farmers have that what they need. So maybe it's putting up extra grain unloading facilities. Maybe it's making investments that allow their producers to be more effective and more profitable in their own operations.
Another feed mill. Yeah, another feed mill, something like that.
Yep. Exactly. And so we hope employees walk away with an understanding of where those challenges are come from, how to diagnose them. But we talk a lot about co-op health and co-op health, that health model. It is different at every cooperative organization. No two are the same, but we want them to be able to understand and diagnose what co-op health means and help contribute to that. That is our goal.
Very cool. Carrie, if someone wants to know more about the program there at the University of Missouri, how do they find out?
Sure. We have a website, gicl.missouri.edu. And my contact information is on there. Jill Moreland's contact information is on there. We're kind of a two-man show here, two-woman show. And we'd love to provide information or share what we do.
Yep. Okay. Very cool. So is your allegiance to sports? Has it made the transfer to Columbia, or is it still there in Ames, Gary?
I kind of have, I will admit, I have a foot in each state. How did you know?
Well, good. I'm glad M-I-Z. To hear that.
M-I-Z, Chip.
I gotcha. M-I-Z.
Z-O-U.
I don't know if I can do that, Carrie, but I can go Cyclone Power all day long. Thank you, Carrie.
At Bex, we stand up for the things that matter most. Our faith, our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Bex, founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit BexHybrids.com.
In tough times, invest in what pays, like the InZone bin system from Farm Shop MFG.
The moisture increase has been a huge benefit for us. We are hauling out more bushels than we hauled in. Who doesn't want to add more money back into your crop?
Call 712-520-6061. I love this song.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Milk markets are higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins at the Mercantile Exchange. November milk up 15 to 21.31. December up 11 to 21.39. January up 7 to 20.67. February up 15 to 20.23. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets, live and feeder cattle markets moving mostly higher. Now, the trade had been correcting from an overbought market over the last few sessions, but we're getting closer to the end of the week, and we should see some cash trade in demand, and demand rather, for cattle and hogs. The packers can't ignore the fact demand's good and needs to be met. Feedlots have posted offers in the south at higher prices and may be able to achieve those higher prices this week. December live cattle up 10 cents to 186.70. October feeder cattle up $1.20 to 247.30. December hogs up 57 cents to 78.27. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all moving mostly lower. It's the same story. Favorable weather for the U.S. corn and soybean harvest. Improving weather for Brazil and Argentina and also South America. And global economic concerns from pressure from the outside markets all pressuring the grains today. December corn down 5 to 399 and 3 quarters. November beans down 9.5 to 970 and a half. December wheat down 6 and 3 quarters to 578 and a quarter. Minneapolis wheat December now down 2 to 618 and 3 quarters. With markets, I'm Brian Winnikins.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
AgriTalk is brought to you by the Mighty Micro from Mosaic Micro Essentials. We put more in so you can get more out. Visit microessentials.com to learn more about getting more.
Biofuels, biofuels policies, and some incentives out there have been a big topic of conversation for a long time here on AgriTalk, and the headlines are happening again right now. American Farm Bureau leadership met with John Podesta earlier this week. Podesta is the senior advisor to the president for clean energy innovation. And here to talk about what the conversation was is Joe Gilson, Director of Government Affairs for American Farm Bureau Federation. Joe, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
Yeah, doing great. Thanks for the invite today.
You bet. Glad you're here. Okay. What was the reason for the meeting? Why did AFBF request the sit down with Podesta?
Yeah, through the Inflation Reduction Act, there were clean fuel credits, tax credits available. And, you know, we have some concerns with the 40B sustainable aviation fuel tax credit guidance that was put out earlier in this year. So President Duvall met with John Podesta this week to discuss those concerns and also give some recommendations for the 45Z tax credit that goes into effect January 1st of 2025. So that was the reason for the meeting. President Duvall, alongside him, we had the CEO of the National Corn Growers and CEO of the American Soybean Association to kind of have a big meeting with the White House to let them know where farmers stand on these tax credits.
Right. What's the timeline on 40B, Joe?
The 40B tax credit actually expires at the end of 2024, and it rolls into the 45Z tax credit, which goes into effect January 1st of this year. So we don't have much time left on that 40B tax credit, but we're really looking for some changes from that 40B tax credit to be made in the 45Z tax credit, which goes into effect this next year.
Right. Okay. So the fear, the concern is that the all or nothing approach that was taken on the 40B, that being the efficient fertilizer use, the cover crops, and what was the other one? No-till
requirement.
Yeah, the no-till requirement, that would just make its way into the 45Z requirements. Is that kind of the feeling or the early read on the 45Z?
Well, that is our concern as well. So that's what we were meeting with. You know, I don't think many acres of production could happen if that's going to be a requirement. We encourage the White House to unbundle those climate smart practices and also allow for more practices to be involved in the tax credit so that if it's planting buffer strips or you're using biochar, that you're getting credit for that. So that's what we're hoping, is those practices get unbundled. It's not going to work for every farm if you bundle those. And it's going to be pretty limited geographic area across the country that could even participate if those three practices are bundled for corn.
Yeah. You know, Joe, here it is. It's October 17th. These are details that really we needed to know, like on September 1, so that producers could plan in advance, right?
Especially if you're going to have a cover crop requirement for 2025.
Yeah.
I mean, farmers are already out of their fields, harvested already, and then you're going to have to, you can have a retroactive tax credit, but you can't have retroactively farm, and so that's one of the things we're concerned about, is just the timing. And we know that already, soybean crushers are placing their contracts for quarter one of next year, but they're having a hard time even, pricing these beans right now because the timing of this 45Z guidance isn't out. And they don't know how much a soybean is going to be worth starting on January 1st. So that was another big point that President Duvall made, was we need this timing as soon as possible. But we also need changes made from the 40B to the 45Z that can actually go into effect to help farmers. And this, because right now we're not seeing much benefit. The farmers aren't seeing much benefit from these tax credits.
Okay, so do you think that Podesta and the other administration officials that were there have an understanding of the AFBF concerns?
Yes, I do. AFBF, alongside National Corn, American Soybean, and the National Farmers Union, we wrote a letter in July and had a meeting with the White House then, outlining our concerns about the bundling of practices. But it's also, the 40B tax credit and 45Z tax credit have a potential to really have preferential treatment for imported products like used cooking oil. And so that's another big concern that we have. And I know the concern has broken through, and the White House, USDA, everyone in the Biden administration is paying attention to this. But these are complex issues, and we're kind of running out of time before the start of next year.
Yeah, boy. There's no question about it that we are running out of time. Hopefully the message gets through loud and clear there on it. Joe, what else? I've got another topic that I want to jump over to. But first, what else do we need to know about this conversation? It concerns me that you had a similar conversation back in July and we haven't seen the details of what is going to be eligible for a 45Z.
What I would say is 45Z, this tax credit has a potential to be a game changer for farmers across the country. It offers valuable incentive for the low carbon fuels that come from corn and beans. But without clear, you know, domestic feedstock requirements and without unbundling these practices, the benefit will not flow to farmers. It will flow to international corporations that are importing products to take advantage of these tax credits. Yeah. And so this is a huge concern for us and one that we really hope the White House and the Biden administration can get correct as they roll out this guidance in the coming months.
Yep. Okay. Very good. I love what you said there. You know, you can retroactively issue tax credits, but you can't retroactively farm. That is an excellent way of putting it. Okay, another topic here real quick. The 2017 Tax Cut and Jobs Act is one of the biggest reworking of the tax code that we've experienced. There are some farmer-friendly tax provisions in that package that will expire in 2025. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. We're, next year shaping up to be a big tax year. If nothing is done at all, we're going to have the largest increase on the middle class in U.S. history. And so from 199A to this 45Z issue to the estate taxes are going to be front and center next year for Farm Bureau. And we're going to be, talking a lot about that in the coming months as we prepare for whatever the new Congress looks like.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Isn't there a piece of legislation, Joe, to extend 45Z for like 7 years, something like that?
So there was a bill introduced. It actually extends it for 10 years. And we don't know what that looks like yet, but what the 45Z tax credit looks like yet in guidance. It also has a domestic tax credit requirement. So imported products could not qualify for that U.S. tax credit, which is, definitely a positive development, at least from the Farm Bureau's perspective, because we don't have that guidance out on 45Z. We're not supporting it, but we're obviously really interested in making sure that this any tax credit that for biofuels is can help U.S. farmers and not hurt U.S. farmers by having preferential treatment for imported products.
Yep. That makes sense to me, Joe. How can you support an extension of something that you don't know all the details of? Because what if the details stink? we don't want to get into a situation where we're extending a bad set of rules under 45Z. What do you make of the status of the Farm Bill right now, Joe?
Right now, the House Agriculture Committee advanced the bill out of their side of the Congress that Farm Bureau fully supports and hopes can be signed into law. We haven't seen any action on the Senate side, but we do know that there's been productive conversations going on between the leadership of the Ag Committee Four Corners. I guess the question now is just if there's enough time in November and December for those productive conversations to turn into actual legislative text. But we do know politics has kind of gotten in the way of Farm Bill policy this Congress. And so, our hope is certainly that once you have the election, some of those election politics get, put on the back burner and we can actually get down to why we need an updated Farm Bill, especially right now with low commodity prices, high input prices and disasters on the East Coast. We really need to have a Farm Bill to, bolster at least the certainty that the farmers have going into next year.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Yeah. And we're just going to have to get some momentum going behind the Farm Bill in a post-election environment to try to get that thing done. Joe, thank you so much for making time for us. Appreciate it, buddy.
Absolutely. Have a good one.
All right. Joe Gilson, Director of Government Affairs at the American Farm Bureau Federation. We're talking with Scott Gertz from ASA.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit WisconsinSoybean.org.
No one should have to navigate herd health alone. Luckily, you don't have to. A successful operation requires teamwork. Visit bio-vet.com and let us help identify key challenges and offer expert solutions unique to your situation. We evaluate your full herd health plan and make economical recommendations to your operation. Learn more about our team and products for herd health at bio-vet.com.
Innovation. That's BioVet.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
At Jerry Bear & Sons, your Golden Harvest seed dealer, their best skill is knowing how to listen. Because once they understand your operation and goals, they can offer the right products to perform in your fields. From the Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to expert insights, it's an answer to what they have heard from you. Get fall cash discounts when you order your Golden Harvest seeds now at Jerry Bear & Sons, just off Highway 25, Durand.
Our faith, our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Bex, founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit BexHybrids.com.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Granville Travis with Travis Brothers Farm in Illinois joins us right now. Granville is involved in a program called Frontier Fields with Mosaic. Granville, tell me about the program.
Well, it's a video series following six farmers through the Midwest and their experiences this 2024 crop year using the Mosaic BioPath biological that the company has come out with.
All right, you're doing some field trials with that BioPath, a new biological from Mosaic. What are you learning?
Well, in my tissue samples, I'm seeing a higher response as far as getting my nutrient levels up. I'm also seeing a little bit bigger root systems on the plants, more density and more fibrous roots that can pull in those nutrients from the root system. And as far as above ground, you know, I can't really see a difference above ground, but I can below ground and I can in my tissue samples.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, it's got a have you excited about what that might mean for your yield prospects, right?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting in the combine here later this afternoon to cut some beans, but we'll be in the BioPath trials hopefully maybe middle of next week.
Okay, so what's got you most excited about what you think you are going to find there?
Well, I had a little bit of trouble in years past with getting phosphorus early into my corn. And using this BioPath biological, I've seen where I do not have yield-limiting phosphorus uptake early. So I'm hoping that that equates to yield at the end of the year.
Fantastic. Good stuff, Granville. Where can listeners go for more information?
you can check out the other five farmers and myself there on frontierfields.com. There's the monthly updates from all of us, and so you can just go in there and check it out and see all of our videos from the past growing season.
Fantastic. Thank you, Granville. That is Illinois farmer Granville Travis with Travis Brothers Farm in Illinois.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Frontier Precision Agriculture. Farming success demands the best efficiencies and smart decision-making. Get your field intelligence at frontierprecision.com/ag.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. So the American Soybean Association and the National Corn Growers Association commissioned a study of what would happen if the U.S. imposes tariffs on different trade partners around the world. The study was conducted by the World Agricultural Economic and Environmental Services. And here to talk about the results of that study, Scott Gerlt. He is the chief economist at the American Soybean Association. Scott, it's been too long. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on today. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing all right, doing okay. I'm glad that you can make time for us today. So talk to me about the study. I think we probably know, but talk to me about why. Why did you work with NCGA and commission this study?
Yeah, we're always happy to work with NCGA. And, you know, as you know, as probably most people are aware, there's just been a lot more discussion recently about tariffs again. You know, we went through the trade war 5 years ago. And so with all the discussion about tariffs, we wanted to see what the effects would be on soybeans and corn if we were to essentially go through the trade war again, to try to quantify that and get that information out there. So as people are having these discussions about trade policy, they would be cognizant of how it would affect agriculture.
You know, and I think it's important to point out that candidate Trump, former President Trump, is talking very loudly about the potential for some tariffs out there. But we need to remember that the Biden administration did not remove those tariffs. And the Biden administration has been talking about continuing tariffs into the future. So, I mean, it's like we're living in a tariff world. We just need to have an understanding of what the potential impacts are going to be here. Right, Scott?
Absolutely. I mean, the world has changed, you know, and we fully understand that the relationship with China is complex. And so we're not trying to really dive down all the nuances of that. We just really want to kind of look at, you know, let's set all that aside. Let's just look at the economic effects of agriculture. You talk about the tariffs still in the books. You know, that's kind of we did two scenarios, and that was actually the first one. After the trade war ended, China never took the tariffs on U.S. ag off the books. They're still sitting there, but China is just not enforcing them. So there's a ready-made mechanism to really start this trade war right back up.
Yeah. all they have to do is start enforcing retaliatory tariffs. That's the word I'm looking for. All they got to do is start enforcing that again, and it's back on. So what are the likely outcomes of a tariff world?
Yeah. So we looked at this in a couple different ways. One of them, as I mentioned, was China just enforcing the tariffs on the books. So for, you know, corn and soybeans, that's about 30-35% tariff rate, depending on what product you're looking at. If China were to do that, that would decrease the price of soybeans to American farmers by about 60 cents per bushel. For corn, it'd be about 8 cents per bushel. And it would drop economic output by about $5 billion per year. The other scenario we looked at was a 60% tariff by China on corn and soybeans. You know, we've kind of seen that 60% number floating out there on proposals for China. So we wanted to kind of look at if there's tit for tat on that, what would that look like? Yeah. And under that higher tariff level, it would drop soybean prices by about $1 per bushel to U.S. farmers, corn prices by about 13 cents per bushel, and drop economic output by about $8 billion per year. And so we would see less production out of the United States because we would be exporting less overall. There's just simply not enough other places in the world to take U.S. soybeans and corn. But we would see South American production increasing to backfill the lost United States production to Canada. So what we'd be seeing at the end of the day is some of the U.S. production being shifted from the United States down to Brazil. It's what we saw last time during the trade war. Yep. And the unfortunate effect of that is that's long term, right? Once Brazil brings more land into production for agriculture, when the trade war ends, that land doesn't really go back out of production. So it creates a longer term, more competitive landscape.
Right, right. What are the odds, or did the study take a look at what might cause China to begin enforcing those retaliatory tariffs?
No, we were pretty agnostic about that. We didn't really dive into that. And the other thing we did not consider was U.S. tariffs directly on China, how those would affect American producers. Because we do import inputs such as chemicals from China, which would further hurt American farmers if they had to pay, higher costs for their inputs.
Right, right. This all ends badly unless a trade war comes with a trade agreement, an agreement that gives the U.S. access into that Chinese marketplace, right?
Right, right. And that's what we saw with phase one agreement into the trade war last time. China never hit the targets in phase one. I think those were always a little aspirational if you looked at them, but they did provide an off-ramp. There's potential there for an agreement. I'm hopeful some of this work, once people realize some of the negative effects, that we can figure this out where we do no harm to the space, to agriculture, to corn and soy. Because we just looked at corn and soy, but, there's a lot of other ag products that would get hurt here as well. U.S. soy has been working in China for over 40 years to build these markets. So there are long-term relationships. We've sent many teams over there, and they've brought many Chinese folks over here. So there's a long-term relationship we would like to see maintained.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I've heard more than a few farmers say, listen, we're willing to take a black eye in a trade war to get a better relationship, long-term relationship with China. Just don't start breaking any legs. It's that long-term effect of losing the markets over to South America and Brazil and Argentina in particular that starts to break the legs. Scott, good information. Where can listeners go to see the whole study?
They can find it on Corn Growers' website or ours at soygrowers.org.
Soygrowers.org. Thank you, Scott. Scott Gerlt, he is the chief economist there at the American Soybean Association. Thanks for listening this morning. Come back this afternoon. Craig Turner.
At Beck's, we stand up for the things that matter most. Our faith, our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Bex, founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit BexHybrids.com.
Spring floods, fall floods.
There's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Extreme weather cost American farmers over $21 billion in 2023.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops.
These USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America.
Conservation practices that help farmers weather these storms are at risk in the Farm Bill.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Climate smart farming is just smart farming. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
Point.
Hey, you okay? You don't normally miss those shots.
Oh, I just haven't been as regular lately, and it's making me feel sluggish.
You should try Metamucil. It's been a game changer for me. Metamucil's plant-based psyllium fiber helps trap and remove the waste that weighs you down.
Ace!
You're moving better than you were last week.
Definitely.
Metamucil keeps you moving.